Welcome to 40K Nation Radio. Time to kick ass and chew bubblegum. And a man with no gum is your host, Cranberry Muffin Man. And your co-hosts tonight are Emperor's Canaries and Justin TSB. Carry on listening only if you have balls of ceramite.
Welcome to 40K Nation Radio's first podcast. This is Cranberry Muffin Man, your host.
Hello, this is Emperor's Canaries.
And Justin TSB.
Okay, today we're going to talk about a little bit news about some Tau. We're going to go over some Grey Knight HQ units. At the end of the week, we'll be talking about the overall probably view of what we think about the Grey Knights Codex, and then we'll put together a 2,000 point list. How's things going for you guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'll be going after April.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to step all over you.
Get off me! Get off my ceramite balls!
No, but what I was gonna say was I got my first game in with the Grey Knights today. It's pretty awesome.
Nice. Oh, I don't want to take away from later on, but I do want to ask you about that.
Teasers.
You get any games in?
I did. I borrowed a friend's orcs today and played a 2,500 point match.
Did you use Thousand Suns rules or?
No, I use regular orc rules with some Thousand Sun orc models.
for those of you who don't know, Emperor's Canaries has a Thousand Suns orc list. Where what do you normally use, the Thousand Suns codex for that, or the orc codex?
I usually use the orcs, but they're all being converted to be like Thousand Suns or orcs. So far just orcs for the most part.
Well. For those of you, I guess, who don't know, we'll go ahead and let you know a little bit about us. I play the Blood Angels. Well, all my models are a Blood Angel theme, but I normally use the Vanilla Marine Codex. I do a lot of bikes. Me and Canaries are both huge bike fans. What armor do you play?
I play basically White Scars. For my Emperor's Canaries chapter, I got all the motorcycles and I drive them back and forth and make sounds and fight each other with them. I play Imperial Guard, the Thousand Sun Orcs, Dark Eldar, and Eldar was my first army. I still have them.
And Justin?
I play Demon Hunters / Grey Knights. Well, Grey Knights now. And Eldar. I am in kind of theme. But I'm moving more into other units and stuff.
Alright, and I guess we're going to go ahead and start. Go ahead and start your stopwatches. And Lord Kaldor Drago, 275 points on page 64 in the Grey Knights Codex. Why don't you read us those stats, Justin?
I don't want to interrupt you, sorry, but I don't think you could say points.
GW doesn't allow us to say points?
Nope.
Really? Okay.
You could say he's the cost of a Land Raider, or a little bit more than the cost of a Land Raider, but you can't say exact points.
He is a Land Raider plus 40 points of badassery.
No, I think that you can. I mean, that's part of freedom of speech. I think that you simply can't post it as like an Excel sheet on a forum or on a website, but as far as talking is concerned, no, but I don't think there's anything that they could do.
Wait, hold on, what's this? GW has just sent me an instant message chat of a cease and desist.
Cease and desist.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You can edit that part out though, right?
This will all still be in there. This will all still be in the final. You can edit this shit out, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll dig through 45 minutes of audio just for that. That sounds good.
Well, you can mark it.
Alright, so let's take a weapon skill here. He's weapon skill 7, ballistic skill 6, strength 5, toughness 5, wounds 4, initiative 5, attacks 4, leadership 10, and a 2+ save. So stats can't go over 10, otherwise Lord Drago would be like leadership 20.
Leadership, all of them.
So under
this stat line is awesome.
Tell what's this? Yeah. Okay, so under War Gear, it says he has the Titan Sword and Psych Out Grenades. Can you tell us about the Titan Sword, Justin?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a mastercrafted weapon, force weapon, with the Demon Bane special rule. Well, not special rule, but rule. And it's strength 10 against demons and psychers. And that's pretty much it. It's pretty badass. I mean, he's pretty much going to kill anything he hits with it.
Nice. Canaries, what's with the psycho grenades?
Basically, let me first start off in case the points got edited out. If anybody is interested, he is 8 bikers with the melted gun, an attack bike, and a power fist, strong, worth of points. For any of you out there who are just entirely too bored. But his psycho grenades basically initiative 10. Or no, psychers and demons, I believe, are initiative 1 when he fights them in combat.
Yeah, okay, on page 61, for the remainder of the soul face, demons and psychers are initiative 1. Wow. That's
yes,
not
sir.
Good.
And the Titan sword, for any wounds caused towards demons or psychers, at the end of the assault phase, they take a leadership test, and if they fail it, they're removed.
So that shit's, like, removed from play, not just, like, instant death?
Oh, that's part of the Demon Bane rule, right?
It's removed, yeah. The sword has that rule, so...
Oh, wow, okay. So he will actually do damage to demons.
Damage, yeah, he'll remove him from the game.
How's it going, Nurgle? Oh, I'm sorry, sorry you have to leave so soon.
The Aegis. Alright, under special rules it says he has the Aegis, Eternal Warrior, Fearless, Grand Strategy, Independent Character, preferred Enemy against Demons, and Psyker Mastery Level 2. I guess I'll cover the Aegis. If an enemy Psyker attempts to target a model, he suffers a -1 penalty to his leadership for the purposes of a psychic test. Model with the Aegis Special Rule. A psychic power that does not specifically target a unit with the Aegis Special Rule does not suffer this penalty. Okay, so... That's just a -1. That's not much.
Yeah, just cool little extra frills, but nothing big from that. The grand strategy is pretty cool. I think that's just something all the what did they call the whatever masters usually have, grandmasters. Really, I don't see much of a point using anything with the grand strategy aside from making units scoring unless it's not an objective game. But
whoa! The grand strategy has some great stuff, man. You could
counterattack. Why mess with that if you just give your Dread Knights scoring?
Okay. For grand strategy on page 22, basically you roll a d3 and you choose that many infantry and basically jump infantry, monstrous creature, or walker in your army, and you give them one of these rules: Hammer of Righteousness. You basically, anything that you roll a 1 on, you get to re-roll. Wounds, nominated units, re-roll to wound rolls of 1. So you get to re-roll your 1s. Shield of Blades, defensive, the units have the counterattack. So what is that's just if they get assaulted, they get +1, right?
Right, yep.
Okay.
Spear of Light, basically you can give the unit the Scout special roll. Unyielding Anvil is nominate units that can hold objectives as if they were troops.
So what do you think?
Yeah, Spear of Light and Unyielding Anvil are both really good.
What do you think about infiltrating Dread Knights?
Outflanking Dread Knights?
Yeah. Do they have fleet? Do Dread Knights have fleet?
No.
Oh, darn.
I do have a question about this, though, this ability. I don't see anywhere that it says they can't have more than one ability if you have 2 Grandmasters. So, like, you might be able to give one of... have one Grandmaster give, like, for instance, a Dread Knight Scout, and then have the other one make it scoring, and then keep it in reserve till the end of the game and help flank on doing an objective or something.
I don't think a Dread Knight's going to die anyways.
There's been a lot of talk about them giving Dread Knights the Scout rule and having them... do their shunt move and possibly being able to get a first turn assault, which I don't think can happen because you can't make your shunt move and your scout move because your shunt is not your normal movement.
I hope they FAQ that shit before the book comes out, because I don't even want to play that shit once.
Okay, so back to Drago. Kran, you want to go over some of his war gear?
We covered his war gear, the Psycho Grenades, and the Titan Sword. Those are the important ones. He does have the Storm Shield, so 3-up Invul. And we were talking earlier, what it carries, Toughness 5, right? It means that basically, it's going to take multiple Vindicator or Railgun rounds to kill him, because he has Eternal Warrior. He can just take wounds. He won't instantly die.
Right. I mean, you can kill him with bolters if you maybe have like 300 of them, but it's nasty. Eternal Warrior with Toughness 5 anyway and 4 wounds, a 2+, 3+ is insane.
Alright, definitely.
And Hammerhand just gives him +1 to strength in the assault phases, right?
Yep, and he's a Psychic Mastery level 2, so he can use 2 psychic powers per turn.
I don't see him dying. For 275 points, you guys think he's worth it?
For a Land Raider +40, yes I do.
Well, he also has the Sanctified Flame, which is a psychic shooting attack. It's basically a flame template with strength 5, assault 1, and it wounds demons on a roll of a 2+.
Basically, all in all, he's a mass of badassery, just kind of coagulated into one spot.
Okay, so we covered...
Oh, Psychic Communion, you can't forget that, because, you know, he could plus or minus to your reserve rolls, and this is after you roll the dice. So you pick a unit, you roll the die, if it's what you want, if you don't want that, then you take away. If you need a unit to come in, then you give it to him, and they're... accumulative, so...
Is that for just him, or he could give it to anybody? He could do that for anyone.
Yeah, every time you roll for your reserve. Wow.
Yeah, that's so you can make nothing come in if you're worried about, like, a guard gun line, and then have them all deep strike in on, like, this last turn and contest all the objectives.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I guess that's gonna conclude our Lord Kaldor Drago. Basically, what do you guys? You guys all give him thumbs up. He's worth it point-wise. You don't see him dying. 3-up Invul, Toughness 5. He's just never going to fucking die.
Yeah, I'll give him a thumbs up. That's for fear of him killing me if I don't.
I mean, giving him Eternal Warrior is really awesome. And,
I don't even feel like it was necessary. It's just kind of like, yeah, bitch. Because, like, who's going to be able to shoot him with a strength 10 weapon while he's in a squad anyway? I mean, that was just one more thing they put on just to be like, you don't fuck with this guy.
Well, I mean, it fits fluff-wise, he survives in the war. Alright, so
nothing in the old codex had Eternal Warrior, so that's why I'm saying it makes sense that they would finally give us a character with Eternal Warrior.
Yeah, especially one who lives in the warp, eternally, fighting things like death.
Okay.
Alright, that concludes our Lord Kaldor Drago. And we're back. Alright, Castellan Crow.
You may have thought we never left, but we are back.
So, looking forward to going against this at your store with all those Codex Hoppers you got, Canaries?
Oh, I am just going to love every minute that I'm spent getting my face stomped in by a bunch of noobs.
Yes, tune in to 40K Nation Radio, where Canaries will bash you at your local store.
Absolutely. If you sponsor me, I'll come to your store, and you can invite me over, and then I'll make fun of everybody there. But honestly, Steve is pretty much the only person I look forward to playing with Great Eyes, because he's at least been playing them for like a year and a half. I don't know if anyone's planning on switching, but I guess I'll find out.
Well, you'll be able to tell who has heavy models and who doesn't.
Oh yeah, if they're running pewter, then you know they're legit.
Yeah, if you're rocking all plastics, then you're one of those new school kids. You're a hipster.
Well, you could also ask them. You know, if they have a really really good job, and you know they're codex hopping, then do you have a good job? Yes, then you're a codex hopper, you bastard. All right, back on track. Castellan Crow, like, pretty much, I think Lord Drago and Castellan Crow are, like, what, some of your, are those, like, your favorites, Justin?
You know, I like, I mean, all the HQs are pretty good. It just sucks that you can only take two. I wish I could take Drago with a librarian and Crow. That'd be awesome. But, yeah, Drago and Crow are my favorite. I know a lot of people don't like Crow, but I like him a lot, and I'll explain to you why once we get to that session. And when you hear why, you know, the rules that he gives to your enemies, you'll be like, why the fuck would they ruin a character like that? But you got to kind of understand his fluff and stuff. So if you want to go ahead and go into that.
All right, Castellan Crow, weapon skill 8, ballistic skill 4, strength 4, toughness 4, wounds 2, initiative 6. Why does he have a star next to the amount of attacks he has? Leadership 10, and then a 2 plus save.
The reason why he has a star is he has the Perfect Warrior special rule. And pretty much what it is at the beginning of an assault phase, you choose from 3 different stances that he has, and you pick that. So there's the first one is Sword of Storms, and pretty much all this does is it makes a single, the Brotherhood Champion makes a single attack on every model and base that makes contact with him, but he does not gain a +1 for the charge bonus. And then Blade Shields, pretty much, he doesn't attack this turn, but he can reroll any failed saving throws until the end of the phase. And then the last one is Reaper Strike. And this is D3 attacks, +1 if he charges. And the attacks are resolved at initiative 10, but directed against a single independent character or a monstrous creature in base contact.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. You know, okay, I'm going to say one thing that bugs me right off the bat. Weapon skill 8. Dude, after weapon skill 5, it pretty much doesn't make a freaking difference. I mean,
Unless you're 9. Then yeah. Space Marines hit on 5s, but otherwise it's really just like, ooh, if I fight one other character, this specific one, I might hit on 3s or instead of 4s or 4s instead of 3 either.
Yeah, 5 up, you pretty much always hit on a 3, unless it's against another independent character, and then in which case you don't even have to worry unless you're going against like a beefcake like Mephiston.
The Avatar. Weapon skill 10.
Oh yeah, the Avatar. Yeah, even him, he's only going to be hitting on 3s. I mean, it doesn't even go down the 2s, so whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't see him killing Lord Kaldor Drago.
No,
because he only has a power weapon. It's not even a force weapon. Because pretty much, you know, he acquired this sword from another demon prince. And he keeps the sword. And it pretty much is trying to kill him. He doesn't draw on his powers, but it pretty much is trying to kill him. And he's like one of the best swordsmen in the Grey Knight army.
Wait a minute. Wait, Castellan Crow
pretty much, he always has to be on guard.
Castellan Crow uses a demon weapon?
Yeah.
Heretic.
I mean, isn't that what basically, like, corrupted the majority of the Space Marines was using demonically possessed weapons? Like, isn't that started the heresy, almost, you know?
Well, I think demonic toasters was where it really started, but it cascaded into weapons very quickly.
Well, I guess nobody's gonna basically go up to Castellan Crow and go, "That's heresy," you know.
Please hand this over.
Crow's background, he was a purifier, and they're like the purest of the Grey Knights. You know, they go through really bad, like really hard training. So they're pretty much, to become a purifier, you have to be uncorruptible. So that's the reason why this demon blade is handed down through the purifiers to keep it away from, you know, chaos.
Hopefully he's not uncorruptible like the Titanic was unsinkable.
Yeah. That ship was down and DiCaprio was on it.
Yeah, we'll see in the next codex. In case you're interested as well, he's as many points as a Space Marine captain with a power sword on a bike.
I'll say it. Get out your pencils, class. 150 points, quickly, all of you get it out there. That's right, you could use these stats You don't even have to take a codex to the tournament. Just use the turn on the 40K Nation
just,
radio.
Just bring the podcast if they have any questions.
I mean, Iron Halo was four up pinball.
He has Artificer Armor, Storm Bolter, Frag Grenades, Crack Grenades, Psycho Grenades, and an Iron Halo. And the blade, like I said earlier, it gives any units that assault him Furious Charge, and they can reroll any fail to hit rolls in the assault phase.
Yeah, I don't really... Does he have any special powers aside from that? Like, does he give any benefits to the army? Because otherwise, he's just kind of pointless.
Yeah, he has Cleansing Flame, Hammerhead, and Heroic Sacrifice.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. That's the reason why a lot of people don't like this HQ. But one, he allows you to take your purifiers as troops. And two, with his special roll, Titan's Herald, you can re-roll any fail-to-hit rolls in his squad or him himself.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so is you're re-rolling your fail-to-hits.
Okay, but you said that the Blade of Antwar made anybody in his unit reroll wounds, right? Or just that's hits?
No.
Oh, that's hits.
The Blade of Antwar gives his enemy Furious Charge and a special roll to reroll fail-rolled hits against him.
Well, that is retarded.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so if he didn't make Purifier's troops, I think he'd be entirely worthless.
Wait, I don't really... Wait, well, what's the point of him taking this blade? Why doesn't he just put it in a vault or something? I mean, he can't bust out, like, $4.99 for, like, a mailbox or something to just hide it in?
Or anything other than in his hand? A stick would do better. I mean, it's not a power weapon, even. Yeah.
Okay,
no,
so
it's a power weapon. It's just not a force weapon. But
as far as I know, it just says
to protect it. You know, since he's incorruptible, he's you know.
Isn't that what like the Inquisition vaults are for? An Inquisition vault instead of taking it into battle is like, ooh, let me take it into battle and risk losing it to demons. Mm.
Well, as far as I know, it just says the Blade of Antwar is therefore treated as a close combat weapon. It's not even a power weapon. But he has Rending on a 4+, which is nice, but I don't think it is even a power weapon.
Alright.
Might not even be. Because, yeah, why would they even give him Rending?
He has Mastery level 1, so he could only use one Psychic power a turn.
I mean, he seems really cool for the Purifiers, but personally I would just leave him out of combat because he's just going to get your Purifiers killed.
Okay.
Well, that's what I was saying. Your Purifiers are base 2 attacks. So if you have Drago or a Grandmaster and you use your Grand Strategy, you can make Crow's unit have a counterattack. So, you know, whether they're charging or they're getting attacked, they're still going to get 3. And if you give them all halberds, they're going to go out initiative 6. So pretty much anything that assaults you, you're going to be hitting them first.
Yeah, That's true. Boosting them. You're giving them you're giving the enemy +1 strength and reroll hits. I don't even.
Yeah, but think
why
about
would
it.
You take him?
If he's hitting, you know, on a D3, +1 if you charge, or you know whatever if you don't, your purifiers are hitting 3 attacks every time, plus cleansing flame. If you have him do cleansing flame. And then you have your purifiers use Hammer Hand. They're all weapon skill 4, strength 5, and you know you're hitting on 4s and then wounding on 3s against.
Yeah, not much would live through that to fight back, I guess. But okay, I still don't see a point in taking him.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if something that survives like a power fist or a power weapon.
Yeah, it's gonna be like, wow, cool. I smacked down a bunch of guys, but. That was fun.
Is there any? Yeah, is there any other?
Hits against you.
Is there any other HQ that you could take? Just a quickie, obviously not a big thing. That would let you have reroll hits or reroll wounds, so that you don't have to take a Stellion Crow. Because to me, even though it sounds like you know you're gonna win the battle, I just don't like the idea of boosting your enemy. It still bugs me.
Well, that's the bane of the blade.
I mean, personally, I just wouldn't take him. I would just take a Grandmaster and make my Paladin scoring and deal with having to take something else's troops.
Well, the good thing about the purifiers is purifier for every type. Five guys, you can have four special weapons.
Yeah, it's
or two
nasty.
Special weapons, I'm sorry. So, ten man unit can have four psi cannons or four incinerators or whatever you want to have.
Alright, so what is it? Let's take a look at the heroic sacrifice, because that's one of his psychic powers. If the psychic test is successful, the Brotherhood champion immediately makes a single attack against one enemy model that is in base contact when he died. If this attack hits, both models are removed as casualties with no saves of any kind allowed.
Yeah, so you send him in with a unit of purifiers against, you know, your enemy's Death Star unit, and he goes against their HQ, you know, whoever it may be, and you could pretty much take him out of the game as long as you can hit. He's almost like a Lucas the Trickster, kind of.
That's worth it, man. I mean, because here's the thing. If you're going against another Grey Knight and you're going against Lord Khaldor Drago or something like that, worth double the points of Castilian Crow, you could basically remove him from the game. Like, but then again,
maybe they'd have to choose to attack him.
Or, yeah. You know, like today when I went up against Ghazghoul and his Mega Knobs, you put Crow on Ghazghoul, and, you know, if you die, you and Ghazghoul are gone, and your purifier is going to kill Mega Knobs.
Alright, so worth it or not? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
He gets a thumbs down from me. I'm not too afraid of him coming and hunting me down like I was with Drago.
I can't say.
I say thumbs up, but I think it's going to be... you're going to have to use this character right. He's not just a... He's not a Drago, that's for sure. You can't just throw him out on the battlefield and wreak havoc, but if you use him smart, then I think he could do a lot of damage.
Before I give a thumbs up or down, what do you think? Is there another HQ that lets you reroll your hits or wounds? And gives, like, Furious Charge or something?
Like some kind of chaplain or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, your brother champion, he has the same Titan's Herald.
Okay, well then I'll give Castilian Crow thumbs down till we do that review. And that closes down Castilian Crow. Coming back with some news. Well, coming back first with a battle report from Justin, a semi-review, and then some news.
Time for the latest battle report overview.
And we're back.
Hello. We just went for a bit of tea, and we're back now, so we're ready to do the podcast, yeah?
Heresy. Heresy. So, Justin, tell us about your game.
Okay, so today I had my first game with the new decks. I played 1750, and I played Orcs. And, you know, I had originally made the list for 2,000-point game, but, you know, I cut it back for my buddy Austin, who was playing Orcs. So, pretty much what my list looked like, I just
Wait a minute, let me stop you right there.
The list as I could.
Why is Austin playing Orcs? Because I know he does the Space Wolves, but didn't he do a Tau thing as well?
No, he does Space Wolves, and then he has like a small Necron Force, and he also has some Orc stuff that he just recently bought off our friend Steven.
Oh, well, what happened to Steven? Is he just quitting Orcs or what?
You know, he's trying to find the time to play between work and, you know, he's a super busy guy. He works a lot, so Orcs isn't really a feasible army for him just because there's so many models and so much to paint and stuff.
Well, did he just get discouraged because Jesse kept Fear of the Darknessing him off the board?
Yeah. He Fear of the Darkness his codex right out of his hand. But, no, you know, it was just too much for him, so he's going to move on to something else. He's thinking Black Templars, maybe. So we'll see how that turns out. But anyway, Austin picked up his Orcs, and we played a 1750 game. And my list, pretty much, like I said, I try to fit some nasty stuff in there. You know, I kind of overloaded on some stuff. I took a Storm Raven just because I wanted to try it out because it was the first game I've been able to use it. But this is how my list went, pretty much. It was a Grandmaster with Psychotroke grenades and a Demon Hammer. And then I took Crow for 150 points. And then Crow make your purifiers troops, and I really like the purifiers, so that's the reason why I went with that. So then I took a 9-man squad of purifiers with all halberds and cyborg ammunition, which gives you +1 strength to your storm bolters, auto cannons, assault cannons, hurricane bolters, all that good stuff. So, and then I took another unit of 8 purifiers with same loadout, all halberds, 10 purifiers with 4 psi cannons, 2 of those units. I took 1 Rhino and 1 Storm Raven with the Typhoon missile launchers, Twinly glass cannon, hurricane bolters, and cyborg ammunition. And Austin was war running a big mech with, he had 2 squads of 20 boys, or 3 squads of 20 boys, 2 squads of Ludas. There was 16 in each squad or 13 in each squad or something like that. And then he had Gadzgul Thraka in a truck with some Mega Knobs.
How many points was this game?
1750.
Oh, okay.
Orcs get a lot of shit once you start taking Mega Knobs.
Yeah. So, pretty much, we rolled Dawn of War and multiple objectives. There was 5 objectives on the table, which kind of bummed me out because being an old school Grey Knight player, Demon Hunter player, objectives weren't really our strong suit, but, we played it anyways, and it actually turned out pretty good for me. I almost tabled them. It ended on turn 5, and I got a little blood hungry, and I started going for Ludas when I should have went for his last boy squad, because Gazgul and the Mega Knobs were sitting on an objective, and as long as they stayed in their truck, I wasn't going to go by them, so... I pretty much wiped everything else off the table except for Gazgul, the Mega Knobs, and one boy squad, which I should have went for the boy squad, but, like I said, it was my first time playing the army, so I just wanted to see how much stuff I could kill.
playing a little bit of Blood Angels there?
Yeah.
I
was definitely raging. Yeah, but, it was a fun game. I lost 1 purifier squad with 4 psi cannons, and then I lost 6 from another squad, and I think 3 from one of the purifier squads with Crow in it. But, they pretty much cleaned house with the cyborg ammo. I mean, it's orbs, yeah, so they don't really get much of a save, but once you get rid of that Big Mac, they're pretty much easy picking.
But he hit his
Big Mac really well. There was a big building terrain in the middle of the table, and he had his Big Mech right in there, and he had 2 boy squads on either side. And first turn, or top of TO, he ended up assaulting me with 15 boys against my purifier squad, and I roll my cleansing flame, and 15 dice, and I roll 2 hits on a 4. They hit on a 4+, and I rolled 2 4s out of 15 dice, so it was pretty bad.
I thought you were going to say you killed like 10 of them with the cleansing flame.
No, I wish. But I did kill 2 of them, which got me on the right track. And then I hit with the rest of the guys and ended up killing 6 more. So it wasn't too bad. They ended up falling below 11, failed his leadership test, and I went ahead and no-retreated him. Swept him. Gave him the old sweeperoo. So that was really good for me. One thing I wish I would have done is remembered my rendings on my psych cannons. I was kind of forgetting that.
I forgot that they have rending now too.
Yeah, I was forgetting that. I'm not really used to that. And psych cannons are 24 inches now. They're not the 36, 24. 36 if you're standing still, 24 if you're moving. They're 24 base, except for now, they're heavy 4 if you're standing still, and assault 2 if you're moving.
Okay.
But, so I ended up wiping those guys, and then he brought some choppers over, brought them up 12 inches, wasn't able to get me. He shot at me, killed 3 guys, and then the next turn I shot back. He had one chopper left. He assaulted with that chopper. We got locked up for a turn, and I finally ended up killing him. But overall, I mean, I don't think I would take the Storm Raven again just because... Well, maybe I would. I haven't really had much practice with it, but I would have definitely played it differently. I kind of left it on the back of the table, moved it a little bit, 6 inches here and there, and just kind of was able to shoot all my weapons, which I was whiffing on everything that I shot. I was trying to get that truck open with Gazgul in it so I could take care of them, but, you know, no dice.
None of the Bloodstrike missiles hit it?
Well, you need sixes and then another six, pretty much, probably with the AP-1.
Bloodstrike missiles. I have the Typhoon missiles.
Oh, my bad.
You can shoot them frag or crack. It's still strength 8, but I was waiting.
You get the missiles on the wings?
Truck.
Don't they get some kind of psych missiles or something?
Yeah, that's what he said, the tornado or whatever, tornado missiles. Or whatever.
No, I mean, you get the Typhoons on the front of it, but don't you get something else on the wings?
Yeah, you can get, what's it called?
Russell threw Codex.
Yeah. It's called Shadow Skies. Or no, not Shadow Skies, I'm sorry. It is called...
Pew-pew's missiles.
Something fun.
Four Mind Strike missiles?
They're called Silver Surfer missiles.
The Mind Strike missiles? Well, it says here that you could replace the Heavy Bolter with a Typhoon missile launcher. So... You probably don't want to pay too much. All right.
I was just rolling really bad. I gave it Psybolt, so you know everything was +1 strength. But I was trying to play with the Storm Raven, trying to see you know what would be good.
Good.
Will the one of the friends I play with all the time, who plays Emperor's Canary's Blood Angels, that I had a game with today, he runs usually 3 or sometimes 2 of the Storm Ravens and. They seem to work best if you kind of fly them up, like boost them, and then like machine spirit, a multi-melter or something to pop a transport or a heavy vehicle, disembark the guys the next turn and just go to town and then back them up a little bit and just keep shooting everything.
Yeah, see, I was trying to get that truck open with Gazgul, but I was just whiffing on my my hit rolls, you know.
Yeah, it was just not good dice rolling.
Man, I'm almost kind of... I almost really like the Storm Raven pattern for the Grey Knights because, you know, you got your Assault Cannon, the Heavy Bolter, Mind Strike Missiles, then you could add a Typhoon Launcher and Twin Link Las Cannons. I mean, did you add Las Cannons as well, or...?
Yeah, I had the Las Cannons. I had the Typhoon Missile Launcher. I also had the Hurricane Bolters on there.
And you fired did all you, that and you couldn't pop that truck.
I fired everything at it for 2 rounds, and I could not pop that truck.
Did you get on the side armor?
Yeah.
Wow.
I whiffed. The first round, I got front armor, and I rolled like a 2 on the damage chart. And then the next round, I moved over so I can get side, and then I whiffed my hit rolls, so it was just not good dice rolling for me.
What is the psychic power fortitude for your Storm Raven?
I think it's basically extra armor for less points.
Yeah, pretty much that's all it is.
Okay. Well,
did you do a battle report?
I did. So I'll Hell be yeah. posting that up. I did a little pre and post game little talk about that. So, I mean, pretty much all it is me rambling on about how the game was and, you know... I think if it would have went past turn 5, I would have definitely tabled him. Minus Gazgul, I don't know how the Grandmaster and the Purifiers would have did against the Mega Knobs and Gazgul, but I would have thrown him at him. Just to see what happens.
Gazgul's nasty, especially if he saved his WOG until like your Death Star gets up there and then he just, oh, I have a 2+ invulnerable save. Have fun with that.
Yeah, but exactly. If he wounded him with Castilian Crow, he could have removed Gazgul from the game.
That's true.
Goodbye, Gazgul.
Or with Drago, isn't it? With Drago.
No, I didn't take Drago. I took Crow and the Grandmaster.
Yeah, Crow but, has the...
On my Grandmaster, I took the Psychotrope grenades. I really wanted to try those out, and I didn't get a chance to try those.
Well, what do those do?
They're like... They have different effects, but you basically, whenever you assault or you get assaulted, you roll a d6 for the enemy unit assaulting you, and you roll a d6, and whatever you roll, you pick off of a chart whatever it is. So if you roll a 1, they're resistant to the gas, and there's no effect. If you roll a 2, lost in their own private hilarity, the enemy unit is automatically in this assault phase, they cannot hit, or they're automatically hit in this assault phase, and they can only have a maximum of 1 attack per model. If you roll a 3...
Dude, that'd be great against Horde, dude. That would piss off a Tyranid or Orc player.
Yeah, if you roll a 3, it says the enemy is caught utterly unprepared, that you can reroll hits against enemy unit during this assault phase. If you roll a 4, the enemy unit is reduced to leadership 2 for the remainder of the assault phase. A 5, disoriented, the enemy unit is reduced to initiative 1 for the remainder of the assault phase. And if you roll a 6, any models that fell must strike blows against their own unit during this assault phase, rather than against the enemy, exactly as if they were on your side. Wounds inflicted must be allocated amongst the entire unit, not just amongst unaffected models. Unsafe wounds caused by affected models count toward your combat resolution.
Wow, and they say Matt Ward wrote this codex? That's definitely Phil Kelly. That is the cheesiest shit I've ever heard.
And then it says, units composed of single models, reroll this result.
Wow. Yeah, this is definitely some, like, I don't know, like Ordo Velveeta Kiss Army or something.
Dude, I love those grenades, though. I mean, I didn't like the leadership one. The leadership one sucked. It takes them down to 2, so they could fail it, and then you could sweeping advance kill them. But that still won't work against Space Marines, because you can't... Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still just something fun to play with. I mean, just to see what happens, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have to say that's definitely awesome that they have a chart for that, and it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very orky.
Yeah, I wanted to try it out against his boy squad, but my purifiers wiped him before I got a chance to get there.
Oh, right. Darn.
Oh, I know. This is sad.
Well,
but it was a fun game, and, you know, I was just trying to learn the list, learn the rules, and Austin's fairly new to his orc, so he was just trying to learn his stuff. I mean, I probably brought a little bit harder of a list than I should have. I actually had another list, just kind of mixed things, just so I could test stuff out, but...
I was just about to say, what a good way to learn orcs.
Austin was kind of challenging me all week, saying he didn't care and he's going to kick my ass, so...
It's a good way to...
So a tie doesn't count as an ass kicking.
It's a good way to learn orcs get curb stomped by human hunters. Alright, so we're going to go ahead and that concludes this. If you guys want to see a live video of the battle report, it should be up on the Two Smoking Bolter channel on YouTube. You can get there from the 40K Nation YouTube channel.
News time with 40K Nation Radio.
Alright, and to finish off this episode, this is actually going to be episode 1, part 1. We are going to, on our latest news, squats, midgets, machine guns.
In space.
What do you think, Justin?
I mean, I like squats, dwarves, whatever you want to call them, you know, in the MMO or RPG that I play. If there's a dwarf character, I usually try to play that. Plus, my boy Dismo likes, squats. I like squats, but I don't think... I don't know. I think they're a weak race and they don't belong in the future.
Well... Okay, so this will tell you. The rumor is that with the new Tau Codex coming out, is supposedly November 2011. This is the November 2011 is like the Necrons are going to be back. But this is the rumor. Anyways, the squats are supposedly are going to be like... mercenary-ish kind of people under the Tau Codex regime as an option. Because basically the Tau have even, there's even humans that will, like a Tau will take over a planet and they'll enlist the humans into their military just to run the local area. They're not genocidal. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the way you worded that. It is pretty much the Tau regime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, the Romans did that too. They would take over an area instead of just decimating the all the people. They would just bring them into their army. I mean, it kind of led to their downfall with the German thing, but
yeah, they'd take the men into their army and leave the women and children.
Yeah. So basically, you could bring them into your government unless they're Celtic or German. Then they won't back. Then they'll backstab you.
You gotta watch out for the space German.
You have to get sterilized.
Space Germans. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I love dwarves. I think they're funny. I like to play them in games too because you know they're all like they love gems and gold, but they're really cartoony and 40K universe to me is serious. And it just seems really, really cartoony and goofy to have these midgets in space. You know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't really like the idea of it. It's just, it's not serious. It's just too, I mean, it's almost like the monkey Jokero for the Inquisition. It's like, I want to support it because it's hilarious, but at the same time, it's like, what a monkey, you know?
I'm a big fan of the squats. I mean, they have a land train, like little nuclear trains. They have things that burrow up from the ground. They have like these like hunched over striders, like sentinels. And I think if they get a Grimdark remake, I'd love to see them. I just don't think I'd like to see them in the Tau Codex. I don't think the squats would fight for the Tau. Dwarves have too much pride.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're too pride. You think if they do bring them back, they're always going to count as going to ground?
I hope so. They'll have stealth always.
Or having stealth.
Their fast attack will be stilts.
They'll be scrims, so they'll be weak to blast and templates.
Well, I mean, what is the point, though, of the squats? I mean, why not just take... They don't even have to release models for them, because aren't space wolves supposed to be mid... Like, they're supposed to be the equivalent of the dwarves. You know, just cut the shins off some space wolf models, and, you know, they already got big beer bellies, and then there you got sci-fi squat midgets.
Well, the only difference, I think, between the space wolves and the dwarves is that the dwarves like building things underground, and the space wolves just like killing things.
No, the space wolves...
Could you do me a favor and stop using the M word, and can we just call them little space people? Thanks.
In space.
gotta keep their feelings in mind. And that's not true, Canaries, though. They built their biggest base into the side of a mountain like a dwarf would.
Sounds like someone's been messing with their gene seed. They absorbed the squats. I think someone needs to get purified by 1,000 suns.
Wait, what? 1,000 suns?
A little bit of retribution.
In nature, aren't dwarves supposed to be, like, really good engineers? So, you know, maybe they make, like, the suits and the guns and stuff. Maybe they'll be, like, a sort of like a tech marine kind of a deal.
They've been outdated. Cool. Nobody Definitely. Wants dwarf technology when you could have monkey technology. Jokeros make the best guns. I mean, sometimes they'll just put a purity seal on there and spray paint it gold to look nice, but...
It's because they have the strength of six men.
I think if they can get a really good Grimdark remake and be a really sweet army, I mean, dwarves in, like, Lord of the Rings weren't that goofy.
It's so comical, though. I just... You can't take...
You just think funny people... You just think small people look funny.
You can't take a midget... A midget with a gun, you just can't take serious.
What if there's two of them holding one gun?
As long as...
One of them's a tripod.
Well, if...
Yeah, exactly.
If one's on the shoulders of the other, then I could take them serious.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
We just...
they have to have some sort of ale they can drink in the middle of the game that will boost their stats, too.
I'm telling you, just take some Space Wolf models, cut their shins off, and pretend they're midgets, and there you're good to go.
How could you not want a land train? I mean, seriously.
What about in the spirit of the new Dread Knight, they have crisis suits but are driven by dwarves, so they're strapped to the chest... little baby Bjorn dwarf just hanging out in the chest, driving around shooting shit.
Oh my god.
Or maybe they give them, maybe they do that, but they give them like close combat ability, so they actually have some, so they actually have something in the assault besides running away.
So if a dwarf fails combat, instead of rolling a d6, you roll a d3 to see how far you can get away. I mean, obviously, the fast attack upgrade of the stilts, so those guys can roll the full D6, you know?
If you kill a squad of scouts, you get half kill points. are we going to talk about this seriously,
no,
or are we just going to bash on dwarves? Because I love dwarves, don't get me wrong.
I really don't know what to say. So tell us, guys, go to 40K
Nation.
Except
for their hands. Their little fucking freaky little weird hands freak me out. That's...
You heard it here first. Dwarves' freaky little hands will not make it into the codex.
Go to 40KNation.com. Click on the podcast. And under there, you're going to see 40K Nation Radio. We're going to have a thread. Tell us, what do you think about space midgets? Do you want them? Thumbs up or thumbs
in
down
space.
To space. And the second question is, would you take a midget with a gun seriously? That concludes it. Alright guys, take care. It's the end of episode 1, part 1.
Take it easy, guys.
Peace out.